Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2434, with the release date of Friday, June 21st, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. NASA's got good copy on the Voyager 1 space probe. The U.S. military vows to be more aware of hobbyist balloons. And another electronics retailer is shutting its doors. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2434 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us into deep space. Few things are more frustrating than not getting clear copy on a signal, but when it's being sent by Voyager 1, some 15 billion miles away, and it's garbled, it's a matter of serious concern. NASA reports that Voyager 1 is back in action on all four instruments. Ralph Squillace gives the details.
Launched in 1977, NASA's deep space probe Voyager 1 had more than outlived the space agency's expectations for a useful life. Nonetheless, when some of its transmission came in garbled last November, NASA believed this might signal the end of usefulness for the farthest-traveling human-made spacecraft. Scientists were wrong. Various media reports say that Voyager 1 has returned to sending data on magnetic fields, plasma waves, and spacebound particles just as before. Popular Science, in its June 14th report, called it the little spacecraft that could. That turnaround didn't happen overnight. In April, the Voyager 1 team was able to collect some engineering data, which gave hope that the partial fix could reestablish full functionality. In May, two of the four equipment arrays were brought back into service. Additional maintenance is said to be needed, but on the matter of usable science data, it is good copy all the way. This is Ralph Squillace, KK6, ITB.
Another beloved electronics retailer in the U.S. is closing its doors after 75 years in business. Cell MB, KB3TZD, has the details.
75 years ago, businessman John Ahijan opened the doors of his new business, the You Do It Electronics Center in Needham, Massachusetts. Its highly visible neon sign was well known among hobbyists and those in search of buying electronics and electronics parts. The businessman died in 2022 at the age of 94. But the store, which employed many of John Ahijan's family members, continued to attract loyal shoppers. Apparently, the draw wasn't enough. On the 13th of June, the business sent customers an email announcing it would be shutting later this year. According to the website Boston.com, which carried the news, customers went on social media to lament the impending loss, telling stories about how they would seek out tips, advice, and spare parts at the store. The website quoted one longtime customer, Alex Guaraldi, who called the business, quote, a better version of what Radio Shack was back in the day. The website also quoted Stuart Broorson, an electrical engineering professor at Northeastern University, who blamed the internet for the store's demise, saying that larger retail outlets are capable of overnight shipping on cheaper components and equipment. Until its doors close permanently, the store's inventory, office furnishings, and even its shelves will be offered for purchase at big discounts. This is Salembi, KB3TZD.
A past winner of Newsline's International Newsmaker of the Year Award has been among those chosen for the YASME Foundation's Excellence Award, which recognizes exemplary operating, technical, and organizational accomplishments. Congratulations to Raisa Skrinikova, R1BIG, who is being honored by YASME for her YouTube channel, YL Raisa, which educates and entertains its more than 15,000 subscribers and spreads goodwill by welcoming newcomers to amateur radio. Raisa was last year's recipient of the International Newsmaker of the Year Award from Newsline. Other winners include Randy Hall, K7AGE, who is being recognized for his substantial library of YouTube videos, and according to YASME, exemplifies the ham radio mentor. Rudy Severns, N6LF, is being honored for the revisions and expansions that he has accomplished in the ARRL antenna book in its chapter Effects of Ground. He is credited with helping to open up the 630 and 2200 meter bands as the holder of an experimental license. Philip Gladstone, N1DQ, is being recognized for his role in citizen science and ham radio. The Gladstone Signal Spotting Challenge bears his name. Philip is the creator and the maintainer of the PSKReporter.info website, also known as the Digimode Automatic Propagation Reporter. Finally, Paul Schreier, HB9DST, or AA1MI, is being honored for his active role in Summits on the Air and his efforts as a board member of the Helvetia Telegraphy Club. He is also a top organizer of many events, including the World High Speed Telegraphy Championships held in 2012. In many parts of the world, amateur radio is moving in sync with Mother Nature, finding its way increasingly outdoors. The first weekend in June seemed to be a worldwide celebration of operating from mountains and other summits, and here in the U.S., an organized group of YLs established a new tradition. We hear about it from Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Never mind playing King of the Hill. Paula, K9IR, Amy, AG7GP, and a few dozen YLs around the U.S., if not the world, were queens of the mountains. It happened on the weekend of June 8th and 9th, when it seemed that many of the more adventurous ham radio operators were heading to the summits. The pair were kicking off an inaugural YL Soda event to encourage women to try activating for Summits on the Air and to support one another in making summit-to-summit QSOs. Amy told Newsline she and Paula were inspired to try out this event after a group of eight YLs activated a summit in July of last year during the Pacific Northwest W70 Soda Campout. Although near blackout conditions for radio posed challenges on the first day, this was hardly the toughest obstacles that the YLs faced. Amy said many of the activators braved heavy rain, mud, poison ivy, and vehicle breakdowns. She told Newsline, quote, "Doing summits on the air, you learn to be prepared for the extra environmental challenges," end quote. Despite those challenges, or perhaps because of them, expect the queens of the mountains to be back on top next year. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Meanwhile, on the same weekend in Wales, despite seriously crowded band conditions, no one accused Soda activators of hogging the airwaves. Going whole hog came afterwards as activators feasted during the third annual GW Soda S2S and Hog Roast, organized by Ben, GW4BML. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, serves us up this story.
Saturday the 8th of June dawned grey and damp, but activators' appetites were intact for the day ahead, regardless. Sunshine eventually peeked through and the activators grabbed whatever spots they could find on 2 metres, 70 centimetres and 40 metres. They listened for signals from their chasers as well as from one another. In a report shared with Newsline, Alan, GW4VPX, said that some of the operators reported more than 30 contacts, a mix of chasers and summit-to-summit exchanges. Some activators had travelled a great distance from throughout England and Wales to participate. Almost everyone wanted to log GB4HOG, the special event callsign of Richard, G3CWI, who co-founded Summits on the Air in 2002. He was chasing QSOs from the site where the hog roast would later be held. Sure enough, by mid-afternoon, full logs were exchanged for full bellies, as 62 activators, spouses and chasers shared their adventures. The tables were as crowded as the bands had been, and everyone seemed to be hogging the food. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N6ICW repeater system in Sacramento, California, during the Monday Aries Races Net, which starts at 7:30 local time. A major electronics manufacturer has been sanctioned by the FCC for making what the Bureau says were changes to legal power limits on Wi-Fi devices and routers. K9 Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us the details.
The U.S. Federal Communications Commission has proposed a fine of more than $367,000 against a major electronics manufacturer for selling Wi-Fi adapters and routers that the commission believes were modified to exceed legal power limits. The report of the action against Asutech Computer Incorporated was posted on the FCC website on Friday, June 14th. The equipment marketing violation charge includes sanctions against Asutech Computer, which is based in Taiwan, and Asus Computer, the wholly owned affiliate that markets the routers in the U.S. The Bureau's posting said that it had a complaint from a purchaser of three model GT-AXE routers, and when they were tested by a certified laboratory, the authorized power exceeded legal limits by between 4 and 9 decibels, or nearly 8 times the legal power levels on some frequencies. The notice of apparent liability noted that the company and the FCC had entered into a consent decree following the investigation of similar violations involving Wi-Fi adapters and routers. The FCC posting did not include a statement from the company, nor was there any comment from Asus Computer on the company website. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Hobbyists will be glad to know that the U.S. military is making an effort to be more balloon-friendly. Patrick Clark, K8TAC, explains.
NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, has been making a concentrated effort to track and identify objects that might be high-altitude weather, research, or hobbyist radio balloons, such as ones launched by amateur radio clubs and school groups. NORAD is now studying numerous websites to determine as best as it can what balloons are flying over North America at any given time. U.S. fighter jets shot down three hobbyist balloons in 2023 after detecting and shooting down another high-altitude balloon, which the government department identified as a spy balloon from China. Stephen Armstrong, NORAD's Chief of Strategic Engagement, told the military website Task and Purpose that NORAD is now taking a closer look at raw radar returns to ensure more hobbyist balloons don't meet the same fate. NORAD now reaches out to hobbyist or researcher groups when it is practical to do so. It seems to be working. Armstrong said that in April, NORAD confirmed there was a hobbyist balloon that had been launched but concluded it did not pose a threat. This is Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
The Parks on the Air program is still very young in Turkey, and now so are some of its biggest fans. We learn who they are from Jason Daniels, VK2, LAEW.
2 years after Furkan, Tango Alpha 7 Hotel put his home country of Turkey on the POTA map, the Parks on the Air program in Turkey has been growing bigger and younger every day. In a country where only 67 of the 322 listed parks have been activated so far, younger amateurs have been taking up the challenge this year. Now, about half of Turkey's POTA activators are young amateurs, according to Ersan, Tango Alpha 1, Echo Yankee Echo. Ersan said a quartet of four young radio operators in search of outdoor activities away from the RFI of the city are now leading the way. TA3TGC, TA3LCK, TB3BDV and 4K6IJ have operated in the parks around Bursa City using their club call sign Yankee Mike 3 Kilo Bravo, then moved on with their radios into parks near other cities. Meanwhile, young POTA enthusiasts TA7YLY, TA7AZC, and TA7EK have been calling CQ POTA in the Black Sea region. Ersan said this trio also did some of the earliest activations the year POTA began in Turkey. Furkan was inspired to bring POTA to Turkey after operating in the US as W7AOF and quickly logging parks in all 50 US states. He received the names of the national and nature parks from the Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry, collected the necessary data for them and processed them for the POTA database. This year, to further nurture Parks on the Air in Turkey, the website tadx.org was launched to show the parks listed in Turkey and the team's park-related activities. It can only get busier. This is Jason Daniels, VK2 LAW.
In the world of DX, listen for Vitaly, F4WBU, active as TM17CEF through to the 28th of June and as TM24F from the 29th of June through to the 14th of July. He is using these call signs in recognition of the 17th edition of the UEFA European Football Championship, the quadrennial international men's football championship of Europe being held in Germany. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Jeff W7BRS operating as VK2/W7BRS from Lord Howe Island, IOTA number OC-004, from the 20th of July to the 1st of August. He will operate CW, single sideband, and FT8 in fox and hound mode on 40 through 10 meters. QSL via M0URX's OQRS. Listen for TM67OG on the air during the Paris 2024 Olympic torch relay and the games. You may hear this call sign between the 25th of June and the 27th of July. A second call sign, TM67JO, will be on the air between the 26th of July and the 11th of August. QSL information is available on QRZ.com. Michael, DF8AN, is on the air from Jersey, IOTA number EU-013, as MJ/DF8AN until the 25th of June. Michael is using some CW and digital modes on 80 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. For our final story, we visit the International Ham Radio Exhibition in Friedrichshafen, Germany, which will have its doors open between the 28th and the 30th of June. This year's event has found a way to combine the amateur with the professional, and Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us how.
Employers in technical fields and prospective job candidates will have a chance to meet up for the first time this year in Friedrichshafen to see who's hiring and who is hunting. According to the organizers' website, the job marketplace recognizes that hams are ideal candidates for employment in technical fields and that their amateur radio skills fit well in a professional environment. Career days will be held for 2 days, the 28th and 29th of June. Visitors can now have a lot more to look forward to than just a fancy new state-of-the-art rig. They will perhaps find a new way to afford it. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
If a good day of radio is like poetry to you, pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Alan, GW4VPX, Amateur Radio Daily, Amy Haptonstall, AG7GP, the ARRL, the Associated Press, Ben Lloyd, GW4BML, Boston.com, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, Ersan, TA1EYE, the FCC, 425DX News, Forbes, Ham Radio Friedrichshafen, Popular Science, QRZ.com, Scientific American, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space.com, Task and Purpose, the Yasmi Foundation, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.